Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's amazing business community. And today I am sat in the studio with none other than Joe Terry, Director of Greener Future, based in Totten. Joe, how are you doing?
I am very good this afternoon. Thanks, Matt. It's happy to be here, mate.
Brilliant. I'm really pleased to get you into the studio, although there is somewhere you should be right now.
Yes, I should be with my three-year-old boy walking on his Winter Wonderland walk at nursery, holding his hand through Santa, but you know, you had a need and I wanted to get on the radio, so let's go for it.
Thank you so much for coming in. Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. So, Joe, let's begin, right? Tell us about your business, because it's fascinating.
So, my business is Greener Future. We install solar panels and battery storage, EV chargers to residential, commercial, new builds across the south. Me and my wife started it nearly 2 years ago now.
Not that long ago.
No, it's been an interesting journey. So my wife worked for a big PLC as a quantity surveyor. So she had a real safe job for the last 10 years, and it's sort of been me that's making all the rash decisions and wanting to be an entrepreneur, and yeah, finally convinced her to come on board with me and rein me in.
That is brilliant. So yeah, husband and wife kind of set up. What's that like?
Definitely has its interesting moments. There's been a couple of nights I've not had any dinner, but most of all, as long as we've both realised that having our own time, we're both into the CrossFit, so we're both members at CrossFit Southampton.
Brilliant.
A little bit of a tag there. She gets up at 4:30 in the morning, goes to the gym. I deal with the boys, take them to nursery and school. Then we both go to work, and then I go in the evening. So during the week, it's, we don't really see too much of each other until we're at work. And then it's, business, basically.
Full on, yeah.
It's good. We make it work, with a family and working in such an intense environment, because we are trying to grow the business at not a fast rate, but, at a comfortable rate to sustain where we want to be and sort of the five-year goals that we've set. There's a lot of tension sometimes, but a lot of good stuff. Like last week we were in Centre Parks, and it's, if we weren't both in the business, we wouldn't have that time freedom to be able to get the gym done, get our work done, and then also build a future for ourselves that we want.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah,
thank you.
And I'm sure the listeners will, be listening in thinking, yeah, do you know what? I get it. It's like you say, it's rewarding, isn't it? No doubt. But I suppose running any business is a challenge, and of course, being in a partnership with anyone can be a challenge.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I think the future that you're trying to build yourselves is absolutely brilliant. So why did you start the business then? Take us back to that point.
So this is my third business I've had. I had two businesses before, which I basically started. I mean, when I was younger, my uncle had businesses and he was very successful. I saw the nice cars, the big houses, and it lit a fire in me. I saw that and I was like, I want that.
Yeah.
So first of all, it was very materialistic. There was, I wanted fast cars. That was pretty much all that was in my head. I wanted a house with a roundabout in the front of it. Silly little things like that. I fell out of a window when I was 21, drunk, messing around with my friends, properly messed myself up, broke legs, arms, was in a wheelchair for 6 months. So I couldn't go back to work full time. So I set up the business then, which was Terry Electrical. Before I knew it, I had sort of 5-6 guys working for me, working all over the country. And it pretty much exploded. And that built up into £1 million plus company within a couple of years. Eventually, just before COVID, we got stung quite a lot. And it wasn't just, companies that stung us. It was probably poor management from me as well, where I tried to grow the company so fast, I didn't have the right systems and procedures in place. And ultimately, if you don't have those systems, procedures in place, you're going to get burnt. Like, I remember after our first child, let's say Chelsea was a quantity surveyor, so the finances and stuff like that, that's her bag. And she came in on her maternity leave. She's like, where's your cash flow forecast? I'm like, what's one of them?
What's that?
Like, I've literally finished my apprenticeship, fallen out of a window, and started up a business and literally just completely winged it. And then, a lot changed when she came in on that maternity leave, and it changed how the business worked and everything then. And you have a re-look at, right, do I want those customers? Because I'm not actually making that much money off of them. They're a bit of a pain in the bum. Where do you go? So that sort of definitely changed the direction of the business. But I made the decision that I was still gonna grow it, and ultimately I outgrew what I was capable of running at the time.
Sure.
And we got taken for, I think when it was all said and done, over £250,000, and it had no choice but to close the doors. And it all happened over like a 3 or 4 month period. So we had our, what we class our forever home. Chelsea, like we had our first child, Noah, who I think was like 1, 2 at the time. And put it all up for sale, because I'd also signed personal agreements for all the suppliers' accounts and stuff like that. So although it was a limited company, even once it was once a business was closed down, you still had all the people knocking on your door. Mm. And then all the admin fees and everything, it just literally mothballed. And it was a very, very, very tough time. But my wife stuck with me through it all. And there was definitely a lot of times I think, Christ, like, there is no way she's going to stick around with this, but she did. And I'm forever grateful for her for that.
Absolutely.
And what went through all of that time was, when I look back at it now, was the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, people think you're weird, like, you lost everything, you had houses and carts and all that sort of stuff, and then it's all gone. And you're looking back at it now and say, it was the best thing that ever happened to you. Because I realised how strong your mind was, what you had to do to keep on that, I don't call myself elite or anything like that, but keep that elite mindset that you listen to from like the Stephen Bartletts and people like that. And I just woke up, I got myself into a strict routine, 4 or 5 o'clock every day, waking up, positive videos on YouTube and stuff. And that's all I listened to. I didn't listen to anything negative. Anyone negative in my life, cut them out. They were gone. Didn't speak to them. And at the time, my mum lived in Australia, and I couldn't really deal with speaking to her that much at the time, because it wasn't what I needed. Mm. So I just focused on fitness. I just buried myself in the gym and stopped drinking, because I realised that alcohol was a really bad negative driver. So as soon as I had an alcohol, then that'd be it. I'd be like down in the dumps for a week. Literally just turned my life around and got fit, got healthy, respected my wife and my family, and just realised what was actually important. Mm. At the time, I was like, I'm so done with electrics. I don't want to do construction or anything like that again. And then I got to, I think, Christmas, and I was like, I need to get a job now. And went and worked for a company. And I think after 3 months in, COVID happened. And it was the best 8 weeks of my life. And I know it's horrible to say, because like a lot of people lost their lives and stuff like that. But it made me realise what was important. I could go out for walks every day with my family. We lived right next to a forest, which we could walk into for an hour. And just make the most out of that family time. And Chelsea was pregnant with our second child at the time as well. So it was some really quality memories were made, which also made me realise what was important in life. And I still want to be my own boss. I still want to do my own thing. But working 20 million hours a day and everything like that is not worth sacrificing the family life and those precious memories that you have with your kids.
Sure, yeah.
So I basically set up on just doing electrical work again from there, and then ultimately started working for a solar PV company. Got the old band back together, as it were. So I had a list when my company went under. I had a list.
Got a little black book out.
Yeah. I just had, at certain points, I had 20, 30 guys working for me electrically. And out of those 20, 30 guys, I had 5. And those were guys that I know I could rely on.
Dependable.
They're good at what they do. So I said, right, do you guys want to learn how to do solar? Like, this guy's happy. He wants to expand his business. He's happy with what I'm doing. I'll train you all up. So I went around training them all up. And then before I knew it, I had built £500,000 business again just off the back of this guy. But it wasn't satisfying, because I'd not say a people pleaser, but I know I like to be doing a good job. So I was turning up to these people's houses. They were complaining because of the poor service they were getting from the company we were working for. No information, no communication. We were turning up to people's houses, and they didn't even know we were turning up to install solar panels on their roof. The guy expected solar panels installed off of ladders, so there's no scaffolding. And I didn't do the roofs, I'd just done the electrics. And these guys, you've never seen anything like it. They're expected to install rain, wind, whatever, holding a 25 kilo solar panel up a ladder and walking on someone's roof.
Doesn't sound like a good idea.
It made me feel sick just watching them do it.
And I can see where you're going with this, because all the time you're probably thinking, there must be a better way.
I've always been, it's about the customer. It's about whether it's a commercial customer, new build customer, you know, they've got to have a good experience. They've got to want to recommend you to friends, use you again. You know, you don't want any sour taste left when you leave the property, whether it's a fuse board change or, you know, panels and battery systems, EV charger, you know, the whole works. You want them to look at that and think, God, that was a great experience.
Yep.
Like, you know, they are a brilliant company. And
because it's not cheap, is it? You know, no. Solar panels, they're dropping quite a bit of money.
Yeah,
so they want to feel like, you know, they want to feel happy about spending that money.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a lot of what we were experiencing was, you know, solar companies were coming along, throwing it up on the roof, not even designing a system that was actually adequate for the person's usage, or they'd go, right, this is a, say, a 3 kilowatt system. That's $6,000, $7,000, whatever. We'll throw that on your roof, bish, bosh, bash, and then you never hear from them again. Mm. Either the company goes bust in 6 months' time because they're just doing it so cheap, you know, they're just going under, or they're just not interested. They've got your money. They're
sort of seeing it as a numbers game, just as many as possible for as cheap as possible.
Yeah, and that's where we saw a massive gap in the market. We're not about one-stop shop. You know, we've got your money, we're off. We, you know, there's a whole... you know, pre-service before we've even installed on site, we, you know, there's a welcome to Greener Future. We let you know what we're about. You call us up anytime you want. You know, you can ask us any questions, we'll answer them. If I can't answer them, I'll find out how to answer them.
Yeah, you know someone.
And then, you know, the installation, everything's planned out. You get a program of works. We'll tell you what's happening each day, the name of the engineers turning up, when it's going to be finished. We always allow a little bit of extra time for scaffolding just in case. You know, we've had some customers, they've come out, and this was on the Isle of Wight as well. It was frustrating, but customer's always right. So, the guy rung me up, and his missus wasn't happy with... We'd agreed it with the husband, but he wasn't quite happy with the layout between the dormer windows.
Right.
And I was like, right, well, what do you want to do? He's like, the wife's... It's got to be done how the wife wants it. And so, you know, we're back up on the roof, moving it all around to how she wants it. It took us another half a day. But, you know, it's a happy customer. It's another five-star Google review.
Yep.
And that is all, that's, you know, every five-star Google review or, you know, high Google review that we get, that's a tick for me. You know, we've got another happy customer. They're going to recommend us to friends, family, you know, even their neighbours. And the neighbours might come around and say, Christ, like, you know, who's done that? Were you happy with the service? Like, yeah, they were phenomenal. You know, nothing was too much hassle. And a prime example, like our CrossFit gym, we've done it for one of the owners of the CrossFit gym, and then he's literally going around, oh, we had the best service ever. This is what Joe done for us. Look how much he's, because all of the systems have an app, so you can see the monetary saving from day one.
Yep.
And for me, that was a game changer, because I've always been drummed in, solar doesn't really work, you know. Most of it goes back to the grid or whatever. And on the app, you can see everything, clear charts. And when you show that to someone, when you go into their house, like this is my house right now. You know, I'm not using it. I'm not paying for any electricity.
Totally off grid.
Yeah. And they're like, wow, like that's amazing. And, you know, during the summer, I don't pay for anything, really. I can charge my car because we've got an electric car. We've got a Zappy car charger from My Energy, which we also try to use UK-based companies as much as we can.
So you install those?
Yeah. Yeah. So our main suppliers are Tesla, My Energy, and Give Energy. So My Energy, Give Energy, both UK-based manufacturing and... but they're based in the UK, and they're brilliant, because there's nothing like calling up a UK call center, having someone that actually knows what they're talking about
actually,
on the end.
Yeah, picks up the phone.
And so it sort of, it helps out, and obviously lead times and everything like that. It just makes everyone's life happy.
Joe, hold that thought.
Yeah.
Because we've got to take a short break.
No worries.
We've got some ads to play, but I feel like we're only just scratching the surface. We've covered so much already, but we've got loads left to talk about, especially your Navy background. Oof. And something I love to do on the show, which is to talk about some of the challenges that you faced along the way. So don't go away. We'll be back shortly.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything,
of almost any size,
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden. And in the spring and the autumn, it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside. And in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from $799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Hello, you are listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM, and I am joined in the studio by Joe Terry, Director of Greener Future. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good. Happy, we made it through the first part.
Didn't we?
I didn't swear, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I love it. You're so tenacious, you're so hungry for what you're doing, and the passion, honestly, it's palpable, like, you just feel it in the studio.
Thank you.
Did you want to do any shout-outs to anybody?
Yeah, I'd love to shout out my wife and my business partner, co-founder. She's literally, fundamental in where we are now. I wouldn't have been able to do it without her. Keeps me on the, when I'm coming up with crazy ideas, she's like, no, come on, Joe, be serious. Like, this is maybe 5-6 years away, but this is what we can do now, and this is how we're going to get there. And keeps me
grounded
and in the processes, because I can come up with all the systems and processes. I'm brilliant at thinking them up, but then actually implementing them, that's where she comes in. And, she's mainly office based, and she sort of just drives that whole aspect of it. She's come up with, one of the most things we get complimented about is the quoting process. So how we present all of our information, how the customer knows when their payback is going to be on their install and everything like that. And that's all down to, one, the products that she found, the way she presents it from a quantity surveying background. And then the little things that she does.
Little touches.
Little welcome letters. So welcome to the Greener Future family. We can't wait to be working with you. Da, 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 da. And just those little things, because when you are working with residential customers, it's so important, because I'd say 80% of our customer base are all, elderly people, 70, 80 year old. They want to know that their money's safe with you. And so what she's done in that is really good. And then my two little boys, Nero and Nico. So 6 and 3, really are a driving force for everything that we do. Shout out's done.
Oh, brilliant. Well, let's delve into a bit more of your background, Joe. So you've got a bit of a Navy background, you were saying.
Yeah. I joined the Navy straight from school. I think I was 15 and 7 months, the youngest person at HMS Rally down in Plymouth.
Oh, right.
Which
claim to fame.
Yeah. I mean, it was, in all honesty, though, I only stuck at it for 2 years because I found out I could leave before, as long as I put in before my 18th birthday, I didn't have to do the mandatory 4 years from 18.
Right.
But I massively believe everyone should do those 2 years, like a national service, as far as I'm concerned, bring it back in, get some actual, ethics, some can-do attitude in the kids and everything in these days. Because for me, I was so young going in there, and I got bullied all the way through school. And it was like a chance to reinvent myself. I went in there. My dad was like very strict, and he said, you need to be fit when you go in there. And so I, for 6 months or whatever, I just made it my mission to be as fit as I possibly could before I went in there, doing hundreds of press-ups a day, running miles upon miles. Nothing was too much. Went in there within 2 weeks. I think they made me head of the sports team for our, basically you have a port and starboard teams effectively, and you compete all the way through. I think it's 16 weeks that the basic training for Royal Navy, and then you go off into your specialist training. So for me, we were the first branch of ETMEs,
which is
basically we worked on the big engines. We dealt with the electrics on ship, the gas turbines, the sewage treatment plants, the trying to think what other stuff that I sort of dealt with, really. Basically anything mechanically apart from weapons, we dealt with it. How all the water got around ship, how the water was heated, which is great in some ways. But then when we were down in the Falklands and the hot water went down and it's minus 20 or whatever it was, Your name's a bit of mud when you go around ship, and it gets pretty spicy sometimes. But in terms of how it made me mature, and I generally don't think I'd be where I am now, one, without my dad, because my dad was very strict. you know, don't necessarily always agree with everything that he'd done in things that he said and everything like that, but, you know, everyone had, every generation has their way of doing it. But he was very keen on me going into the Navy, and it was one of the best things I ever done.
You know? Was it, did it sort of affect your mindset as well, yeah, the way that you, yeah, sort of looked at challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, where I was so young, I had such a big thing to prove, and I was quite shy before I went in, and I just said, right, I can't be shy in here, I've got to be a man. And I went in there, and I just done everything that I could, probably sometimes a little bit too much, sometimes I got called arrogant, but, you know, there's a very fine line between arrogance and confidence, and I think depending on who you're bantering with is whether they find it arrogant or confidence.
Yeah, sure.
And especially when you're getting, you know, out-talked or out-worded by a 15-year-old and you're 30, then some people don't like that.
Oh, no.
Or like one of the, because where I was the master, captain of the sports teams, it was me who chose who'd done the teams for all the events. So you had three teams, you'd have a good team, your medium team, and your rubbish teams. So if you were putting someone in the rubbish team and they thought they should be in the medium or the good team, there was always conflict there and friction. And yeah, ultimately it taught me that, you know, basically when you're scared, because whenever you're going to have what you deem might be confrontation with someone, there's always the little words in your head thinking, oh, don't do it, or just, you know, skirt around it, don't do it, don't go for the easy option. And it's just that effort mentality. What's he going to do at the end of the day? Yep, you know, he's going to be offended, he might even hit me, but that's my decision. You just got to be a man about it and crack on with it. And that's what I've done. And ultimately our team won pretty much all of the sporting events and got a little medal for it and everything like that. And then I went on to my phase two training and ultimately onto HMS Southampton, which we done a tour from basically Portsmouth to the Caribbean, went from the Caribbean through the Panama Canal, Peru, Chile, Falklands, Georgia Islands, Brazil. And it was just absolutely amazing.
It sounds like a brilliant experience.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, the work where HMS Southampton was falling to pieces, it was like that was its last deployment. It got mothballed afterwards. So it was, you know, 20 hours a day until when I put in my notice, which I think was 3 weeks before my 18th birthday, they then basically say, right, we're not wasting a space training you to do engine stuff anymore. You're what we call a dish pig. So all you're doing then is washing up dishes and serving food, which sounds really bad, but it was brilliant because you've done 4 days on, 4 days off. So a lot of the time, especially when we went down Chile, we were stopping every other night. So you're always going to run ashore. Whereas when I was working in my branch, all you're doing is like, because every night before you pull into a new port, you have to scrub all the decks back and repolish all the decks. So most of the time you'd be up till 1 o'clock in the morning, especially where we were the largest branch as well. We had a lot of surface area to clean. So you were knackered by the time you actually got into the port to go ashore anyway. Whereas when you're on dish pig duty, you've got relatively small areas to clean.
Yeah.
You've probably had the day off before anyway, so it doesn't really matter too much. And you go off ashore. So I've done like my paddy open water diving course. And
You were living the dream.
Yeah. For 17 years old, I look back at it now and I think, God, that was an epic experience.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend anyone to join the forces and do something, especially when you're fresh out of school, because I generally don't think anyone has a clue what they want to do when they leave school. You know, go in the forces, see the world, get an experience, get some discipline behind you, and then go on, take on life.
Yeah, good man. So fast forward to today and greener future. What does a typical day look like for you?
So most days get up between 5 and 5:30. Always stretch with my GoWad app, so do 30 minutes 40 minutes of stretching in the morning. I found that's massively helped since I turned 30. It's like life got a lot harder after 30, everything seized up a little bit. Then the boys get up 6:30, get them ready for school, have a little bit of play. We got a Hungarian Vizsla called Erica. She was our sort of tester for kids. And just so you know, having a dog is nothing like having kids. Unfortunately, you can't put the kids in the cage, but
yeah,
which I didn't know at the time.
Yeah, and then of course, when you do have kids, you then also got a dog.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, she's absolutely fantastic. She's such a good dog, and she's great with the boys. You know, sometimes the boys are quite boisterous. They're a bit like me. They're full of energy. You know, we're always playing jokes on each other. Poor Chelsea's always getting cold water thrown on her in the shower. You know, she'll come out of the shower and then she'll get shot with nerve guns and stuff like that. She gets a little bit of a stick from us, but she gives it back as well. So, then drop the boys off to nursery and school, into the office for about half eight, quarter to nine. And then, yeah, Mondays and Fridays is like, I basically, I block out in the diary now, they are office days. So Amy, who does
so you're not, you're, yeah, so you're not out in the van quoting seeing customers.
No. So we got to a stage where I was out every day, and then Chelsea, because where I'm sort of the technical buyers person in the company, they were waiting for so much stuff for me, it was holding them up. So we're like, right, let's be strict, let's be regimented on what we're doing. Mondays and Fridays, you know, I'm in the office, I'm at your disposal. Make all your, because we use HubSpot as our sort of CRM. So those days are blocked out in there, and then they can set all of the tasks to be done. We have a Monday morning meeting, which in all honesty, we're not religious with it, but we're trying to get much
better.
Are they
useful when you have them though?
100%, yeah. It's just when you get so busy and you have so many, you know, your to-do list is just growing, which is another thing. One of my friends, Tom Bundy, he was actually on the Apprentice a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
And he's just a very interesting guy, but he basically showed me how he uses his to-do list. So he breaks it up into smaller segments. So, you know, this has to be done today. This can be done tomorrow, but do it today if you can. And sort of breaks it all down a little bit smaller. And I was like, you know what? That's such a good idea. So I started doing that, and you can get so much more stuff done. It's so much more efficient with your time management. So that's one of the key things we need to start going forward with our Monday meetings, and then pushing that. And then a Friday, right, how are we doing? Did we get all that stuff done? Is there anything that's urgent price-wise that needs to get done? Do I need to work late? Because that's one of the key things. Like with my businesses before, I would literally get to the office 4 o'clock in the morning. We didn't have kids, so I had no other ties other than work and Chelsea, basically. And in all honesty, Chelsea probably took a back seat back then, because all I cared about was growing my business. All I focused on was turnover. And I'd be working 4 till 9 in the evening every day. But it's not fun. You don't enjoy it. And you can't be passionate, and you can't be good at what you do if you're not enjoying what you're doing. So this time around, we're like, right, you know, we get into the office at a reasonable time. I basically, with CrossFit, you have to sign on. So I sign on 6:40 every day. If I can get there a bit earlier, happy days. If not, that's the time slot that I've got. And then I get home, say 8 o'clock in the evening. But Mondays, Fridays, office days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, site surveys. If I've got to go out and do an install, then do an install.
I was going to say, do you still get on the tools every so often?
I try not to. Not because I don't like it, because I love doing a good job. But I find a lot of the time when I am on site, like my phone would just be going constantly, and then I can't do the best job because I'm constantly being pulled back. And you know, you need to have it done in that day, but you're getting pulled off 2 hours a day on phone calls.
Yeah.
So I try to make the team do as much as we can now. Now, there's always going to be times when you have to go in and you have to get your hands dirty. But ultimately, it's a much better use of my time to be, you know, growing our client base, working with the customers, making sure that the customers are happy, especially, you know, the commercial new build customers we have. They've got to be comfortable and confident. You know, responses have to be prompt so that they're not thinking we're going under or anything like that. Yeah. And it's just how we like to do, because if it's not dealt with straight away, likely as it gets forgotten. Even when it does go through HubSpot, it's no good dealing with it a week later. Once you have your Monday meeting, you've got to deal with it in a decent time frame.
Yeah, it makes sense. You were saying earlier about these new solar panels as well.
Yeah, so they've just brought out these new N-type solar panels. So previous solar panels were around 12-year product warranty, which meant basically if your panel broke after that 12-year warranty, then you're going to have to buy a new panel. Whereas now they brought out what they call a 25-25. So that panel is guaranteed for the production that it will produce. So say you've got a 410-watt panel, that will still produce, as near as damage to that, I think, bar 0.05% within at the end of its 25-year life expectancy. But now they're saying that in that 25-year period, they will also product warranty that panel as well. So if that breaks, all the customer needs to pay for is the replacement of the panel and obviously scaffold or anything like that.
Right, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it's, yeah, for longevity of the installation payback, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, hold that thought. We're going to take another short break. We've got some music, couple of ads. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the challenges that you faced along the way and any advice that you might give somebody that might be thinking about starting up their own business or going self-employed.
Yeah,
so
happy days.
Don't go away.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors. I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice. Voice FM.
Joe, I'm curious, are there any other influential people that have sort of helped you along the way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my father-in-law, Chelsea's dad, he's run his own business for years. He's a very hard character. Doesn't suffer fools. Always says exactly what's on his mind. Sometimes you agree with it, sometimes you don't. Mm. But I don't think ultimately till when we lost everything, we moved in with them a bit, and they massively, you know, just took us in. I'd had to go into a sort of financial arrangement, we couldn't rent anywhere, they took us in, took our dog, took the kids, and it was an interesting time. He made me look at things a bit differently, you know, and we're both keen cyclists. He was always been much better than me. Like when I proposed to Chelsea, I bought a road bike pretty much just to impress Chelsea, and rode it twice, three times max. And then I thought, right, I've got to ask his permission to marry her. So I texted him, like, do you fancy go for a ride? He's like, yeah, okay then. Got there, I was like, you know, where are we going then? He goes, oh, I've got a little ride planned for you. Like 30 miles in, yeah. And I'm like gassing. And he's like, 60-year-old man. I'm a young lad, I don't know, 22, 23, however old I was. And I'm out of it like the clappers. And he goes, we're going up a hill, say after 20 miles, and he just pedals past me and I'm blown out of my bottom, and he just goes, diesel engine, petrol engine, and pointed at me, and I just thought, yeah,
but it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah And then I asked him, you know, yeah, I want to marry your daughter, do I get your blessing? And he was like, yeah, well, I suppose you're better than the other tit. And then you know, we went up, and I swear to this day he won't ever admit it, but he took a right and we just went up the biggest hill you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. And it just killed me, and it's like literally feeding me his banana, which sounds so wrong, it's not like that, on the way home. So you know, we have a good bit of banter, but when we moved in with him, I never thought he would say it, but he said some very things like, you know, it's not about falling down, it's about how you get back up, and you know, dust yourself off, stay positive. Do what's right for you. And then whenever we've, you know, felt a bit rubbish or anything like that, sometimes he'll say words that you don't really need to hear, but probably are the right things that you need to hear at the time. Other times, you know, he says exactly the right thing. Yeah, pull your finger out, get on with it. Sometimes business is hard. You know, he's been through it. He's had the ups, downs, you know, sideways, had it all. So yeah, I think people like that are very important to have in your life. And you know, one of the key things I learned this time around is never think you know everything. There's always someone that can advise you and help you, and you know, not necessarily mentor, but there's always someone that can help you out. Mm. So there's another key guy, Nigel Taylor, his name is. He started up an IT company, and his business was him and his wife as well. And I met him working for this other solar company, and he said, you know, you've got something about you, you should set up on your own. And then after I'd done it and we were sort of at a stage, I was like, Nigel, can you give me some tips? And he invited me around, went around for coffee, and I was literally there the whole day. And it was like a bit like how me and you are talking now, just, you know, time's flying by, having a nice chat, talking to me about how his business went and everything like that. And he asked me one of the key things, like, why are you doing this? Like, what is your driver? And I sat there and I thought, and I was like, it's my kids, my family, you know. I've always had the dream of being able to be in a position that the 6 weeks holidays come along and we can just go off and explore.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's years away, but that's such a driver for me. And I think before I thought about it, but it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't in the heart. Whereas now, you know, that's all I think about is that's my driving. Like, one, do an absolutely great job, have a great name, have a good reputation, and then be the best dad that I can be, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, make fantastic memories with the kids and, yeah, be present, really.
That's, so, yeah, what a motivation.
Yeah, yeah, I think kids are, you know, they're such a driver. People can use it as a pro or a con. I try to use it as much of a pro. Don't get me wrong, sometimes when I've got shed loads of work to do and I need to drop them to school, they're running around or, you know, they've got football practice or whatever, I think, Christ, I don't need this.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, once you're there, switch the phone off, be present, be a dad, and just try and have fun because they're only young once.
It sounds like you've got lots going on. I mean, how you mentioned earlier about, you know, you sort of set aside that Monday and that Friday. How do you kind of manage your time though? How do you do that?
Mainly with to-do lists, to be honest. I have the Outlook 365 to-do lists and everything is on there. Like I said, with, you know, my friend, he sort of showed me a better way of using it. So it wasn't just like a massive list and you're looking at it thinking, Christ, how am I going to get
that? I'm never going to get through that. Yeah.
And so now, I think one of the, before I used to try to put, like if someone rang me up, they had an issue, I'd be like, oh my God, I've got to deal with that now. And I would work till midnight and make sure that that was done. Whereas now I'm sort of a bit more aware that people will wait within a reasonable time. You know, it's okay to say to someone you're going to have a quote back next Monday rather than try to get it done today. It's okay to say, if it's not, you know, they've lost all power to their house, if it's something that can wait, you know, I can get there Tuesday next week.
Mm.
And just being not afraid to say, I can't get there this week, I can get there then.
That's a really good tip, isn't it? Because it's very easy to be a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And of course, what happens then is you end up burning out.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, you just can't get it done, I think it's the hardest thing. And then you end up with unhappy customers, unhappy referrals, and then it's your business is only going one way then. You know, it's as long as people know, as long as you're communicative, then that's the most important thing. Communication.
It's key, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's one of the key things we said when we started Greener Future. You know, we will communicate. We will tell you every step of the way. We haven't always been perfect. There has been people that run me up and like, we haven't heard from you for a week. And we're like, oh my God, like, I'm sorry, I've been on courses, or you know, someone in the office should have done that, but that hasn't happened. And, you know, unfortunately that does happen. But the most important thing is you learn from that. You know, I think that customer, we end up sending them a bunch of flowers just to apologise that it's only a minor thing, but that the flowers go a long way, and then it hopefully they're a bit more like, oh yeah, you know, they did drop the ball a little bit there, but they realised it, and ever since then they've been on it, firing.
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, yes, Chelsea's idea. So you know, she's got all those sort of little things that I never even think about, you know, like Christmas hampers and stuff like that. So like we have a couple of rental properties, and every year she sends hampers out to the tenants in them, and it's stuff like that I'd never think about. But she's like, well, you know, happy tenants, they look after the place, and it's true, it works. You know, we sort of very rarely have any issues bar one recent one, but
which we won't go into.
No, that's a whole different radio station then.
Yeah. You were saying earlier that where this is now your third business, you kind of look at things in a slightly different way, almost like you've taken all of that stuff that you learned in the previous businesses and you've sort of approached this one slightly differently. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I think before I was massively gung-ho, like, you know, all I cared about was turnover, didn't really understand margins or anything like that, and I was in new build housing and care homes, so new build housing is notoriously very low margins anyway. So if you have one, you know, person doesn't turn up, or you have an electrician turn up the site or a plumber turn up the site and the plot's not ready, in my opinion, like, I still paid those guys because I didn't think that they should be out of pocket for, you know, something that's not their fault. Whereas now I sort of stay away from that. You know, if it's the low margin stuff, we're not really interested in it. You know, you go find someone that wants to work for, you know, run around like a blue chicken. Yeah. Basically, we want to do a good job, make sure the customers are happy, but obviously at the same time, you know, we've got a living to make, we've got business, family to feed, people to obviously pay each month, and you know, it's just doing it right, basically. You know, yeah, not just trying to chase the turnover.
Yeah, absolutely. Having a bit of a head for numbers.
Yeah.
Joe, if you were sat opposite somebody right now and they were thinking about taking that leap, or they were thinking about starting their own business, they've got this idea for a cool product or service, whatever it might be, what would you say to them?
I think the key thing that I didn't do before, because I didn't know, is there's so much technology now to help you do the business. So one thing, be clear on what you're doing and why you're doing it. So, you know, for us, we want to basically help the future generations be more sustainable. You know, we want everyone to have solar panels on their house. We don't care if we do it, but we want everyone to have solar panels on their house, because ultimately that's going to reduce use of fossil fuels. Same as electric cars. Obviously, you know, there's pros and cons to electric cars, but ultimately it stops a lot of emissions and greenhouse gases and you know, global warming. We don't want our kids to basically be, you know, not as privileged as we are. Basically, you want them to have the best life they can, have a, you know, a great world. I mean, I'm massively into being outside, being in mountains and stuff like that, and the thought of, you know,
that not being there
or not being as green or not being as pretty is not a nice thing to think about. So be clear in what you're doing and why you're doing
have
it, and write that from the start. Have a plan, you know, year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year plan. And then, like I say, use the technologies available. Like, one of the key things that I found saved so much time was like Xero. You know, the projects on there, when I was just a one-man band or running 2-3 people, you can clearly keep track of all your projects, so you know where you are financially, you know your ins, your outs. And don't be afraid to employ people or use subcontractors too early. Like, we have a bookkeeper that does all of our books for us. She now does the profits and losses and stuff like that. So that saves me, I used to do it on a Sunday, so it saves me my Sunday now. And yeah, for the cost of, say, less than £100 a month or whatever, it's, you know, it's managing your time. And where you don't need to do it, and someone could do it better than you and faster than you, pay the person to do it.
Yeah. Stick to what you're good at.
Yeah. And then that frees you up to be able to do the stuff you're good at, earn more money doing that, and be happy when you're on site or customer facing or whatever you do. You know, it's just being positive and happy. And you can't do that if you're overwhelmed with the paperwork and the stuff that just, you know, you're not good at or you don't enjoy doing it, especially from a trade point of view. Because tradies, basically, most of the time, we're, you know, big hand, hate paperwork, it's all stuff in the glove box. You know, we just want to be able to offload that to someone. They organise all of it, send us a report each week, or we can go on the dashboard and it's, like with Xero, it gives you a bar chart so you can see exactly money in, money out every single month. Right, look at that. Yep, I know I'm doing well. I've got money in the bank. What I'm doing is working. And then you can obviously forecast, you know, set your goals, everything for the upcoming years and go on from there, really.
That's really good advice. Joe, I'm curious, what's next?
So we are going through a slight growth at the moment, but we're so precious on quality, we've got to do it slowly, because, you know, our roofers, we trust them. They've got to train up the next generation of roofers or the next team of roofers. So until they sign people off and say, right, no, we're happy with them, we don't expand past that point. So, yeah, we've started to branch into council work and more commercial projects at the moment. So it's exciting times ahead, definitely. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the lion's share of it, really. Just, you know, start training the next generation of roofers and electricians, and, you know, get a quality workforce, and make sure that we're keeping up, whether it's commercial, new build, residential customers, keeping them happy and doing a good job.
It's nice, isn't it? It feels like you're definitely trying to build a sustainable business for the future.
Yeah,
which definitely goes hand in hand with what you offer as a product and a service.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're only as good as your last job is always something that I've lived by. And if you install a job that doesn't work, which we have gone to multiple projects that they've gone with the cheaper price for option.
Yeah.
A month later, the system doesn't work. They can't get hold of the installer. And then we come in, and a lot of the time it's been a case of they've just installed stuff that doesn't work together or whatever, and we've got to rip it out and put a new system in. Be true to what you believe and what you know you can deliver.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to see what happens.
Me too.
And yeah, maybe we need to book you in for another chat in, say, 12 months time. We'll do a revisited episode.
Yeah, we can plan this one rather than off the cuff.
I know. I think you've done a very, very good job.
I feel a bit more comfortable now than when I first came in.
Yeah.
No more nervous sweats.
What nerves? It's been absolutely fantastic. No, genuinely, you know, wish you and obviously Chelsea and the team, you know, all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
I think we're going to see some incredible things. I love the van. I can't wait to see that round Southampton now.
Thank you. Yeah, that was another one of Chelsea's She like, we turned up and she's like, what do you think? I was like, yeah, it looks fine. She's like, no, I don't like that. That's not right. And then she's in there with the designer for like an hour and he's printing off all these different shades of green. And that's the, you know, that's where she comes into her own, that
well,
precise precision for detail.
It looks incredible, honestly. And so, yeah, unfortunately, though, that is all we've got time for.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.